Last Sunday, one of the dear women in the church came up to me. She's like, "Mark, is somebody in the church giving you a really rough time?" I'm like, "Why do you ask that?" She's like, "Some of the stuff you've been preaching about feels like it's been repeating itself a little bit." And I'm like, "No, nobody's giving me a hard time other than, you know, Robert Comstock, but that's just fun, ribbing. But no, nobody's giving me a hard time. I'm just taking time to go through Peter's letter to the church." And so there's some themes that kind of repeat through that, and I've just been trying to follow it verse by verse as we go through, because I really believe there's something about the hope of Peter's message that he's communicating to the church that we can relate to, because we're living in a culture that is beginning to put pressure on the church, put pressure on Christians, and it's going to probably get more intense. 15 years ago or so, I was doing a study just on the people and their participation in church, and it was going through the generations, and it was, so the generation, that greatest generation, that World War II generation, it was like all but about 15% of that generation went to church. And by the time you got to the millennials, that generation right before my kids, those individuals that are starting to turn 40 now, so 20 to 40 years old, 15 years ago, only about 40% or about 40% of that group didn't go to church. And then this week I heard a study about millennials, and they're saying 43% of millennials do not believe in God, do not care about God, don't know if he exists, don't really, really care. So almost half of that generation. And that's the generation that will soon be in leadership and everything else of a nation. And so I don't even know what it's like for the generation of my children. But even my kids talk about how few of their friends are involved in church and the things of God. So as you can see, as culture falls away from the things of God around us, the pressure that could be coming on the church could be greater and greater. And so there's hope to be found in God, and his word is encouragement to us. And so as we go through it, I don't know if you've noticed this. It's been kind of funny this last week how the stuff that's been so divisive over the last 2 years, suddenly we're acting like it doesn't exist. Masks, vaccines, COVID. You know, it's like all of a sudden it disappeared. Isn't that funny how that happened? It's like, what pandemic? But we talk about that, and it's one of those things that if you remember the last 2 years, depending on where you stood on what side of your thought on vaccines, on masks, on all the different stuff with the pandemic, how divisive that could be. Remember that? It was like it was yesterday or last week. But they say now there's two things that you should never talk about if you're having a dinner party. What are they? Politics and religion. And guess what? We're going to talk about those today. We're going to discuss the two together. Politics and religion. Now, if I really think politics in some ways has become the new religion of the United States. Sadly. We have the R's. At war with the D's. R&D. We don't like you. You don't like us. And vice versa. We just don't like each other. We're not going to work together. We're not going to talk about anything together. It's just you're either on this side or this side. There's no middle ground. So you have the R's and the D's. And then on top of that, you have the independents. They're like, do I go with the D's? Do I go with the R's? And some of us, we get so tired of politics, we're just like, hey, can we get rid of them all? But we can't do that. But you have the R's and the D's, and then you have the U's, the undecided. I don't know if I'm an R, I don't know if I'm a D, I don't know if I'm an I, I don't know if I care. I'm just somewhere in there, I'm an R or a D. And sometimes in the church, we get into that battle. Are you this? Because we don't like you to be independent. We want you to pick a side. So are you this or are you this? And then some will even get into a debate. Well, would Jesus wear this or would he wear this? That creates that tension for all of us when in reality, this is what we should wear. See, Christian. And it creates that tension. Do I support the R's? Do I support the D's? Do I stay an I or a U? But in reality, if I'm following Jesus, I'm this. I'm a C. I am a CH. I am a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-N. And I have C-H-R-A-S-T in my H-E-R-A-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E for him eternally. I'm a C. As a Christian, I'm to be a model citizen that lives honorably, glorifying God and helping others. Peter wasn't afraid to talk about how politics and religion impact each other. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. To be subject, it's similar to submit or to obey. To submit is literally means to place myself below another person based on respect for the person or their position. I obey appropriately to the relationship, be it compulsory or voluntarily. I choose to obey, and that's hard. And this is not a new tension or new instruction, because we're like, Mark, it's all about the R's and D's. It's all about that. It was a tension that Jesus even dealt with as he's talking to some individuals. They come up to him and they're like, hey, Jesus, should we pay taxes to our Roman occupiers? Do we really have to pay taxes to them? We really want to be our own nation. We don't really like the fact that Rome is here. Should we pay taxes to them? And Jesus turns and looks at him and he just says, hey, give to the emperor what belongs to him and give God what belongs to God. Or Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 13, he just makes this comment and he talks to them about how leaders exist under the authority of God. And so we can surmise that they are ultimately accountable to God. Or in Titus 3:1, remind the believers to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people, for we were all once sinners. So what do? I'm this. I might have to make an ugly choice of voting for this or this. But I'm this. So because I'm this, I can't approach politics in the same way that everybody else in the culture does. So the first place I start is I pray for my leaders. Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Come on, I got to pray for all people? But I don't like this individual. It actually kind of made me a little bit sad this week, because there was a politician that determined that the best way to deal with the Russian issue is to just have somebody within his camp murder him. Now, on one hand, I get it. I get what he's saying. I get what he's communicating. But on the other hand, is that really the best approach? I don't know. But we as believers are called to pray for everyone, even our enemies. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Pray, pray, pray for our leaders. The reality is, our leaders, like us, have souls in need of a Savior too. They were created in the image of God like we were. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. They are accountable to God for their lives. They are loved by God. Their souls matter to God too. But I don't like what he or she says or believes or practices. I get it. Pray, pray, pray. And it's not easy, as you all know, to be politically submissive when I dislike what leaders are doing. But the reality is, good governing is impossible without respect for leaders. But my license, my freedom in Christ is not a license to do wrong. I am to do good. Now, leaders are hopefully fulfilling their roles by acting justly. And the reality is votes matter. Influence matters. Good candidates matter. Don't we want good candidates? It's frustrating of having to pick the best of the worst. I wish that the best of the best would come out, but the way our political system is and the wars between the R's and the D's makes it really hard for the best of the best to come out, because why would you want to put yourself in that situation? But the reality is we have to pray for them. I have to be at a place where I respect my leaders because their decisions impact my well-being. However, I have to be at a place where I fear God alone because He determines my existence. Now, here's a thought for the news junkies, because I like to read news. I like to watch the news. I can be very consumed with the news, but the reality is if we're not careful, we can become preoccupied with what they're talking about. And the reality is most news is also entertainment. They want you to come back for more. It's kind of hard to fill 24 hours of a day with a news cycle that has not much in it. So what do they want to do? They want to get you all fired up. They want to get you all concerned. I mean, just read headlines sometimes. The headline of an article will like communicate something. You're like, oh my goodness, this is important. Then you read the whole article and you're like, what is this about the headline? But a lot of people just scroll through the news and they see the headlines without reading the content of the article. In fact, most people are that way. They pay attention to the headline, not the truth of the situation. So we have to be really careful, not become preoccupied with things. The reality is, I don't need to fret, I don't need to worry, I don't need to fear, because God is always, always, always in control. So it makes it easier to pray. God, work in his heart. God, may you move in the president. May you work in him. May the things that he has learned over decades of a lifetime of hearing your word preached, of hearing your word taught, may somehow it impact who he is. God, may you work in this politician over here. May you work in this leader over here. God, may you work and move. God, go across the sea. May you help the leader of Ukraine as he has to lead while his country is being bombarded. God, may you work in the heart of that leader in Russia. May you get him. May you grip his heart. May you save his soul. Pray. I need to live for God. Because as I live for God, I can silence opposition by doing good. Peter continues in 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. I'm this, remember? I'm a Christian. Now, for Peter, for his audience, as he's writing to them, they're facing pressure from the outside. There's people making accusations against them, many that were unfounded, not true. And how do they combat it? Because they can't just get up in their faces like, that's not true. I'm not against the emperor. Even though they're thinking, hey, you're an anarchist. You want to bring down the empire because you're all about this other king that's going to come and be in charge. And it's creating all this tension, false accusations against them. And we're like that also. People make accusations against us. There's such common accusations that come against believers. We're called hateful, judgmental, holier than thou, hypocrites, entitled, gossips, unintelligent, old-fashioned. Those labels are put on us. And yet we can disarm that criticism when people see us. We're upholding the law, we're fulfilling our roles in society, and we're doing good for people. Because we begin to lose our credibility when we don't set an example. We're this. We're not this. We're not this. We're Christians. And each side's trying to get the C's to be on their side because they want the votes. But we're Christians. And we need to be setting the example of what it looks like to follow God and to know God, to make him known in the world. When I do good, it shows the slander against me as baseless because most people won't pay attention to the details. People enjoy a scandal. Did you hear what Mark did? Oh my goodness, did you see what he was buying? Did you see where he was? Oh my goodness, can you see? Did you see who Mark was talking to? I can't believe it. We enjoy a scandal. They're entertaining. They're fun to watch. People will believe ignorant accusations, and they'll rarely be bothered to actually find out what the truth is. You ever notice that? Good actions over time disprove false accusations. Or put another way, my actions speak loudly. People see, hey, you really love God by how you're acting. You really are walking with God. You really care about me. I should be inclined to obey and submit to rulers. However, a political ruler does not have absolute authority. God is the ultimate authority. If a leader is telling me to do something against God's will, I obey God, period. I'm different. When I take on the label of Christ, I'm now different. I purposely did even a different color so we'd realize that. When I take on Christ, I'm now different. I might live here, but my home is now heaven. I might have been a citizen that, hey, all I'm concerned about is this war between the R's and the D's, and this is my home and everything else. And now I'm like, hey, God's preparing a place for me to live. Now I'm to live here as a stranger because my home is heaven, but I still live here. So I want to make the best impact I can while I'm here. But now I represent him, Jesus. I represent Christ. I want to live as light in the darkness. To people see, hey, you are different. And you notice how light is most effective when it's in your near darkness? If I turn on a flashlight in here, you're not really going to notice that the flashlight's on because there's all the light that is in here. If we were to turn all the lights off and I turned a flashlight on, it would expose everything in the darkness. A light is most effective near darkness. God doesn't say, hey, become a Christian and get as far away from possible as everybody else. No, get right into the mix. But don't become like them. Get right into the mix of who they are. And do good. Live for God. Show them who God is in our words, in our actions, who we are. We're light in darkness. People see me living for God. They know when I'm a believer. They know when I'm living for God. They know when I'm not. Because they're just watching all the time. They're watching how we talk. They're watching how we act. So we want to represent Christ well. And it is that tension. I live here, but my home is heaven. But I'm doing what I can to fill heaven by introducing people to Jesus. But while I'm living here, I do what I can to leave things better than I found them. I do what I can to strengthen my community. Then Peter continues, 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. Actively show respect and recognition, regardless of their position in life. Honor people. I mean, we don't see that in the wars between the R's and the D's. Somebody disagrees with the other person, they're like, man, I'm going to belittle them. I'm going to badmouth them. I'm going to trash them. If they believe against what I believe, man, I'm just going to make them feel horrible. But as a C, I'm called to honor everyone. I'm called to show them respect and recognition regardless of their position in life. And even in the context, it includes unbelievers in honoring them as well. I'm not despising you because you're not a believer. I'm not hating you because you're a persecutor. I'm not treating you with contempt because you're of a lower rank or status in life. I'm not rejecting you because you're different class, color, or race, but I'm treating you with honor. I'm treating people well because every life is priceless and irreplaceable. Every soul matters to God. I honor God when I honor people. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life in a never-ending relationship with God. So I want to do what I can to reach people. I want to treat people well. And that's hard when there's opposition. That's hard when you don't like what they believe, what they practice, what they're doing. But I have to love the individual, but hate the sin that is consuming them. But love them enough to do what I can to reach them for Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to go to work in their heart and life, so that he experienced the salvation and the freedom and the life that comes from knowing Jesus just like he has shown us. So I'm treating people well. At the same time, I'm loving the brotherhood. I'm connecting with fellow believers. I'm loving all Christ followers. When I become a Christian, I become a member of a large blended family. We're sharing a special bond, Jesus. We have that special bond, Jesus. He has saved us. He has changed us. And we're living for him and with him. We need that special bond because the reality is life is hard. We have setbacks. We have stress. We have hardships. We have all that on the outside. We have the R's and the D's and all of culture bearing down on us to use us. We want your vote or we don't like you. We want you away from us. Everything, because of this representation, because we walk with Jesus, we have all the pressure that's coming onto us from the outside. Then on top of that, we have that inner battle that is taking place on the inside, where the fleshly desires on the inside are like raging war on the inside, being like, hey, I want to get you to fall back into darkness. Even though Jesus is like, I have rescued you and I brought you into the light. So we have all that hardship, all that pressure, so we need each other. We desperately need each other. So it's so important that we love one another, that we not shoot our own teammates. We need each other. We're in this battle together. Love the brotherhood. Honor the emperor. I honor those in authority over me. I give the respect that the office deserves, even though I don't like their political leanings, even though I don't like the direction that they're going, I still show them honor and respect. Not for what I can get out of it, because that would make me a sycophant. I'm not just kissing up because I want to get your favor, but it's no, I show you honor and respect because your decisions impact my life. But I don't fear you. Because I only need to fear God. I need to have a deep awe and respect for God. I am to fear God and no one else. And the reality is, when I truly fear God, when I truly am aware of the awesomeness, the power, the might of God, when I realize that, when I fear God, I'm delivered from the fear of others because I know God will take care of me. But that's hard. It's hard. But God's in control. The R's and the D's might be at war. The R's and the D's might be constantly going back and forth. Who's in charge? Who's in control? God's ultimately in the authority. And we live for him and we represent him and we want to represent him well. But we want to honor everyone because every soul matters to God. We want to see every person have the opportunity to meet Jesus, to know Jesus, to have their lives transformed by Jesus. Because we want to see them become this. That they wear this label, Christian. This label, Christ follower. Follower of the way. Follower of God. Lover of people. Lover of God. Lover of God's word. Making life better for people, helping people, having the attitude. When Jesus, they're talking to Jesus in Luke 10, Jesus, who's my neighbor? Because they're wanting to categorize, do I help this person and not this person? What do I do? And Jesus is like, let me tell you who your neighbor is. There was a guy beat up, dying on the street. Individuals walked by and just went around him. Religious people went by, walked around him. A Samaritan, a despised individual in their culture, comes up, takes the guy, cleans him up, takes him somewhere, sets him up in a place, basically a nurse can take care of him, pays all the bills, provides for him, does what they can to help this individual that's beat up and dying on the ground, does good for him, didn't know who he was, didn't know if he would get anything back, didn't know if he would get repaid for the investment that he made in the guy's life. No, he saw a need, he did what he could to help a person in need. Help people. Care for people. Love people. Help them to experience the love of who God is. Helping them to experience who God is, to know Him, to love Him. We're to love people and honor people, to value people. Not their sin, their soul. Because we want to see their lives changed. Stand with me this morning. I'd like you to do something today and just think through just individuals in your life. Think through people in your life that don't know Jesus. Today, let's take a few minutes before we leave today and pray for their souls. Pray that God would grip their hearts. Also, take time to pray that we as the church would not be in a political war, but that we would be in God's war of reaching souls. That we're representing Him well. So just take time to pray. God, help me to represent you well in everywhere I go, in everything I do, that I would represent you well, that I would honor you in my words, in my actions. And then pray. God, help me to have a healthy awe and respect of who you are. Help me to remember that God, you are God. You are the ultimate authority. And it's you I serve. I don't have to fear anything when you're near. God, help me to have a healthy awe and respect for you. So begin to think and process those things. And today, I'd like to do it a little bit different today. I'd like you to just come and find a place across the front if you want to stand somewhere or kneel down on the steps or on one of the pews. And let's just take a few minutes while Leah Beth sings and take the moment and pray. God, here's the people on my prayer list. Jesus, may you save their souls. Jesus, help me to be light. Help us to be light in this world, in this community. God, help me to have a healthy fear and awe and respect for who you are. God, work in this need, in this situation in my life. God, we need you desperately. God, we want to see you work and move. For your glory, let's come find a place for a few minutes before we leave today. Find a place to pray and cry and talk to God.